You're listening to the Next Flight to Spain podcast. Join me for conversations with my favorite chefs, olive oil makers, educators, wine experts, Spain aficionados, and friends. We'll discuss fresh ideas for enjoying Spain on your next trip. Welcome to the Next Flight to Spain. Today, my guest is Nicole of Travel to Money. She's a world travel coach who can help you live a life of travel, adventure, and financial independence. We'll learn her favorite places to visit in Spain, her Spain travel tips, and a little bit about her YouTube channel and coaching business. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Molly. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me today. I'm so excited to learn about your journey, some of the exciting things you're doing, and to get people checking you out on Instagram and YouTube. You've got lots of great things to share.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and to talk about Spain, one of my favorite topics.
So fun. I started following Nicole of Travel to Money on Instagram a few months ago. She inspires people who thrive on travel and adventure to achieve financial independence so they can do more of what they love. She's a world travel coach who can help you open your own Airbnb, buy a house in Spain, or get your finances in good order so you can live your best life. In today's interview, we'll learn about some of her favorite places to visit in Spain, including Valencia. We'll imagine a 3 to 5 day Spain travel itinerary, and she'll share her favorite Spain travel tips. We'll also ask her about her YouTube channel and coaching business. Does that sound good, Nicole?
Yeah, that's great.
To kick things off, I thought I'd ask you if you can tell us a little bit about your personal journey to live your best life, one of travel, adventure, and financial independence.
Absolutely. Well, I, for many years of my life, worked like everyone else did, a 9 to 5. And it wasn't until maybe 6 or 7 years ago that a coworker of mine sent me a link to a blog. The blog was about house sitting and how this one woman traveled the world for around $14,000 a year through house sitting because she would take care of other people's pets or gardens, and she had seen much of the world. For me, I had never thought of traveling as something that you could do on a budget. It was always something that was a vacation for 2 or 3 weeks, and it was expensive.
Okay.
This sort of set off something in my mind that spiraled into many different creative outlets over the years. So I just sort of kept that in the back of my mind for a few years. I moved back to Florida not long after that and started working remotely for my job. But I was just living at home working remotely. And then I got up the courage to ask my boss one day if he would be okay with me working from Europe and traveling, doing some slow travel, maybe 1 month at a time in each different location so that I'm not jumping from place to place too often, and just sort of convincing them that they wouldn't notice any difference when I was there versus being at home. And fortunately, everyone was super encouraging and excited to see me take that first step. I owned a house at the time in Florida, and I decided to rent that house out on Airbnb, which then provided really a second income on top of the income that I was earning. It paid the mortgage, the bills, plus a profit on top of that. And I sort of grew into that Airbnb business. I've done a lot of different things in the Airbnb space since then. That particular space with Airbnb was what kicked me off on that adventure. It was a lot of work to get set up.
Oh, for sure. I imagine so.
I was able to take my first 4 month travel adventure. I had initially scheduled 7 months of travel, but came home a little bit early. It was a lot to take in on my first trip. So I learned a lot of lessons in that about how to stay connected with community. And we've come a long way since then. A lot of the world is working remote now.
Right.
At the time, they weren't. And so there's just so much opportunity out there to see the world, work from anywhere. And that was really how my journey kicked off.
I can't believe your first trip was 7 months.
Well, it turned out to be four.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was the other way. I had planned 7 months and then ended up coming home a little bit early.
A little bit early.
I did really miss my close community. And when I got home, though, within 24 hours, I regretted coming home. So like, it was like, you hug everyone, you just are so excited to see everyone. And then you realize that life is just the same as it was before you left, and you wish that you were back in Europe. So that's how I felt anyway.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you've been to Spain several times, and you're even working on a major remodel of a home that you purchased for 5K. It's been really fun watching your journey on Instagram. I love seeing the videos of you guys pulling down walls, pulling up floors. It's awesome. Where did you purchase that home, and why did you pick that particular town?
Well, when I was on my first world travel adventure that I mentioned before, I stopped in a town called Oliva, which is south of Valencia, and stayed there for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I was already somewhat familiar with the area. I had not traveled to a lot of places in Spain at that point. I had really only been in that Valencia region, but I was comfortable with it. I really loved the region of Valencia already. And so I actually made an offer on that house before having even been to Pago or seeing the house, just so that I could secure it. It was on sale for just under 20,000 euro and just such an unbeatable price to me. The house was livable. It needed a little renovation, but the views were stunning. It was surrounded by mountains. And I said, that's for me.
There you go. That's awesome.
So the second house that you mentioned, the one for $5,000, is directly next door to the original home that I purchased. That's how I ended up finding such a good deal. My neighbor, I think, was trying to sell it for around $10,000, but ran into COVID for a couple of years, which made it difficult, obviously, to sell his home. So he eventually lowered it to $5,000. And I thought, well, I can't pass that up. I don't particularly need a second home. I will probably rent it or sell it to someone locally. But I thought it was a good opportunity, especially since it impacts my home because it's directly next door to mine. They are townhouses. Okay. I should make that clear, because that's pretty common in Spain cities, but maybe not as much to folks listening from this side.
Gotcha. Is it a shared wall then between the two?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So mm-hmm. when you're ripping out the walls in one, you're really keeping an eye on the other at the
yes.
same time. What's the latest with the remodel? Last I checked, you guys had pulled out the floor and we're looking at some underground plumbing.
Right. Well, we ended up having some structural issues on the back of the house. So we went on pause for a little while we were waiting for a structural engineer to come look at everything. We ended up getting a quote for $3,300, and they are basically restructuring the back of the house. We ripped out the entire kitchen ceiling, which was also the floor of the first floor bedroom. We're raising the kitchen ceiling because it was really low. If you were 6 feet tall, you would hit your head on the ceiling.
Right.
And so we removed that. They're putting in new columns and new beams to really just secure the structure of the back of the house. And that is in progress at the moment. I'm headed to Spain in a couple of weeks when that is supposed to be finished. And then we can start more work on everything else. But everything was paused waiting for that to get into place so that we can really pick up from there.
Okay. And it's a friend of yours that's helping you out over there, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. When I first bought my first home in Spain, I showed up to the house to see it for the first time. And this guy, Lee, was standing across the street painting someone else's townhouse. And he was just the most outgoing person I've ever met in my life. His brother jokes that he talks on the inhale.
So oh, boy.
He was just fantastic, became such a great friend, such a trustworthy person, and for a pretty low hourly wage for me, but knows how to do everything you could possibly imagine and is pretty well connected in the area too. So he's just been such a great friend, and I honestly don't know where I would be today without him. Not be in the current situation I'm in. So.
Well, when you talk about building communities, looks like you've been able to do that there as well, successfully.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a really great community in Pago, some wonderful people that have been very kind to me.
That is awesome. What are some of the fun things you guys like to do there?
Well, I love the small town life there. One of the things I love about Europe is that everything is very walkable. And so even though you probably wouldn't want to walk from city to city, once you're in a town or a city, you can just park your car and you don't have to use it until you have to drive outside of the city. So local life there is very full of just local culture. And one of the things I love about Valencia is the people there. And I'm told, I mean, I'm sure it's all of Spain, but I'm told specific to Valencia, just love to celebrate and are just so full of joy and life. There is a celebration going on constantly. And you see that in these small towns as well. And so for me, it's just enjoying coffees locally, going to the local markets is one of my favorite things, no matter where I am in Spain. It's a lot of fun to go through different clothing items or items for houses, and you can just stay for hours and hours, really enjoy the weather because it tends to be beautiful. Have a coffee while you're walking around. I think coffee, that's one of my connecting points. I'm a coffee lover, but I love having coffee in Europe and in Spain specifically because there's so much relational culture around it. It's not grabbing something to go. You sit and you have a coffee with someone and sure, you have a conversation, and it's just so unlike the hustle and the bustle that we see back here at home so often.
For sure. So your love of Spain has taken you all over the country. What have been some of your favorite towns to visit outside of Valencia?
Well, I've had a chance to visit Barcelona, Madrid, and Granada are some of the bigger cities, Alicante as well. I would say that Alicante is probably one of my other favorites. I didn't spend enough time in Granada, and the weather wasn't great when I was there, but it was a beautiful space. We went up the Sierra Nevada, which was incredibly cold, wasn't ready for the snow that was happening when we got to the top. Barcelona, surprisingly, has not been a place that I've connected with as much. It seems to be everyone's favorite. And I mean, it's a great city. It's impossible to not like any place in Spain.
Right.
But I also love some of the smaller town areas. Oliva, that I mentioned before, is a great place close to the beach. I love hiking Altea area, which is between Valencia and Alicante. It was just surprising to me how much each little town has to offer. Every single one is unique, and there's just so much to explore.
Oh, fun. Well, let's try to imagine an itinerary. Like, let's say we were taking a couple friends to Spain, and they were like, hey, where should we go? If I was taking a couple of friends right now, would probably head up to Asturias, maybe over to Galicia. I'm really excited to go try some wines up there. So that would be the driving force for that particular trip. But for you, it sounds like Valencia is like your hub and that you have adopted it maybe in a way as your kind of home away from home in terms of a region, actually. So what would you do there if you took a couple of friends?
Well, when I head into the city, Valencia is one of my just favorite places in the world. I love the city. It's very, for anyone that hasn't been to Valencia before, in comparison to other European cities, I would say it's a little on the more modern side. So you get kind of a mix of the historical and the modern in Valencia. But I love to drive into the city and park near the Arts and Science Center, which is amazing. They also have the Berklee School of Music there.
Oh, wow.
And what they've done in Valencia, they had a river that ran through the city. Many years ago, the river flooded the city during a storm. And because of the extensive damage that was caused to life in the area, they diverted the river and they have created a park out of it that is just the most beautiful garden that you walk through. It is maybe 4 to 5 miles long.
Oh, wow.
But it ends at the Arts and Science Center, which is close to the seaside, and it runs all the way up into the heart of the city. And it's just full of nature, everything from putt-putt golf to skateboard parks to everything throughout the park for miles.
Oh, wow.
And so if you park at the Arts and Science Center, you can get so many things to see and do there. They have an aquarium and some other things in that area. And then you walk up through the park bed into the center of Valencia, where you can really explore the city, the downtown area, try foods and things of that sort.
What do you think is the minimum amount of time someone could be in Valencia to really see it all? Do they need to be there for a week? Can they kind of a couple days help them get a feel for it?
I think you would get a pretty good feel for it in 2 or 3 days. I haven't explored the entire city, though, so there's probably more that I still have to explore.
When you think about Valencia, what is the one thing that comes to mind? What's the most unique thing that you'd want people to know about?
Really, I would say more than anything, the people. They are vibrant, full of life and joy, always celebrating. My favorite time to go is during the Fias Festival every March, which I'm sure you can look up information online about that. It's incredible. 3 million people come from all over the world,
and
it is quite the celebration. However, there's a lot to see in Valencia when you're not there during that time as well.
The festival sounds amazing. I would love to go sometime. Let's get back to imagining your 3-day itinerary with your two friends. Where are you starting? Where are you going to next?
I would definitely start in Valencia, taking them up the riverbed that we mentioned before, walking through the Valencia area. And then I would probably rent a car and head down the coastal region between Valencia and Alicante. It's one of my favorite areas to visit. And even though I've explored quite a bit, there is a lot more to explore. Altea is one of my favorite coastal hikes in that area. It's just, the town I live in is Pago, and it's right between Valencia and Alicante. And so I would say that that is a midpoint. A lot of people are familiar with Benidorm. That's a very touristy area, but Altea is very close by that. Benidorm also has some beautiful coastal hiking as well. It's just incredible to be able to go on a hike and have beautiful views the entire time of the sea and just beautiful mountain regions. When I hike in a place like Colorado, you're kind of looking at trees right around you the whole time, and then you eventually get to a beautiful view. But on these coastal hikes, you have a view the entire time. It's just amazing. And I think there's a lot more coastal hiking that I haven't done in that area. So it would be an opportunity to show my friends some areas that I've already explored, as well as still getting to do a little bit more. And then Alicante, I would probably end there because it's another big city that is very walkable and has a beautiful boardwalk area. There's a lot to do there. I once took a catamaran ride out from that area to of the small islands nearby. That's a fun day trip to do. It's not very expensive, includes a meal. So I would highly recommend doing something like that if you're close to the sea.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And is there a specific place you go to get information on hikes, or just word of mouth, or do you use an app, or what, or just leave the house?
There is hiking everywhere around you for sure in these areas. It's actually really popular for cyclists. I'm not as much of a cyclist, but it's a very popular area for the pros to come and train, because there are a lot of trails, but well-paved trails as well for cyclists and hikers alike. So I've done kind of a combination of everything you mentioned. Sometimes I just walk out the back door and see what there is to explore. Other times I'll Google, you know, popular hikes in the area, that sort of thing. I think there are some apps. I don't use them very often. And many of the hikes I've gone to, like the one I mentioned along the coast in Altea, are, I think they're listed as some sort of park or something on the map, so they're really easy to find and get to. But yeah, I guess a combination.
All right. Well, I love your videos that offer Spain travel tips. I think the most common question I get asked is how to get around, and you have a terrific video with tips on that. Can you offer some highlights?
Absolutely. So for me, I do love renting cars in Spain. I have found incredible deals, usually through Skyscanner. There can be some other sites as well. So renting a car is a fairly easy experience. And I think that the roads in Spain are very drivable.
For sure.
So it's not too difficult to get around that way. However, if you're going to be in a city, my first recommendation is walking, because everything is walkable. And then most of the cities are going to have great public transportation, like trains, the metro sort of option, as well as buses. And those schedules are usually really easy to find online. So if you do have to get from one side of town to the other, and a walk is a bit too far, that's really easy to do as well. The other thing that I would recommend is BlaBlaCar if you're going from city to city. It's like a carpool type of option that they have an app for, and it's really used a lot throughout Europe. So that can be a great option for cheap transportation from city to city.
And that's something you have to plan ahead for, right? You kind of book a driver, or is that how it works?
Yes, you can go online and put the dates in that you're traveling, what city you're traveling to, and there will be different driver options with rates. Sometimes they may not have the route you're looking for available, but it's something that you can definitely check out if you're looking for an option that may be less expensive than a train or a bus ticket.
Okay. Yeah, for me, because I spend quite a bit of time in southern Spain, I'm really excited to try that out, because it is tricky to get around down there. And I'm getting to the point where I really don't want to have a rental car. So I'm going to try it on my next trip. I'm excited.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. What other travel tips do you most commonly find yourself being asked about, or do you find yourself most commonly sharing in kind of like quick high-level conversations about traveling in Spain?
One of the things that I always recommend, I mostly stay in Airbnbs when I travel.
Okay.
Sometimes I use hotels for shorter stays. And one thing that I mention to people is not always being too set on a specific place they want to visit at a specific time. So the more flexible you are, the better deals you can find. Okay. And just that every place you go throughout Europe, and really in Spain, is probably going to have a lot to offer. And so being just open and willing to explore a new area that maybe you haven't even heard much about. The places that I had not heard about have been the most fantastic surprises. And then in that way, you can kind of narrow down some really good deals in an app like Airbnb. I start by lowering my monthly price to around $200 a month, and then I'll work my way up from there. And then it will show you everything available. Because if you leave your Airbnb app set to a really high price, then it's not necessarily going to show you all the options. Because if there are hundreds of options, it can't show all of those to you on the screen. So I start with a really low price, work my way up from there, and just see what is available in different areas. So I found that I can get really good deals using that approach.
I love that tip. And I think you had that in one of your videos, and I used it recently for a trip to Madrid. So instead of looking at the 2-day price, is I think how you your advice worked, I looked at the monthly price. Mm-hmm. Is that how it worked? And then from there, I found something that was $80 a night, and then I reined it in, and I'm only staying there for 2.5 weeks, but I have a really great rate, and it did narrow it down to a few spots. Yeah, and it's a beautiful place. It really is only for one person, but another person could stay there if they're willing to share some of the amenities in a way that they might not want to, like there's a curtain for the bathroom door and so forth, but otherwise I'm really excited about the place. I don't know if I explained that correctly. So what your advice was you said, look at the monthly price first, right?
Yes. And I didn't mention that just now, but I'm glad that you said that. As an Airbnb host, you can offer a monthly price or a monthly discount, a weekly discount, and then sometimes you can offer different promotional rates. So if you're looking at anything over a week of time, it's going to show you a certain price. And then if you're looking at anything over a month of time, it will probably be less, as long as the host has put in that discount amount. And then Airbnb actually has greater discounts that hosts can offer at the 8-week and the 12-week levels as well. Okay. So if you know you're going to be in an area for longer, you can put that length of time in and it will show you the best rates that the host is offering. That doesn't mean that every host has that, but most hosts don't like to do a lot of turnovers. So they will offer a lower rate if they have someone that's going to stay for longer. Now, the only trick with that is that if you book, let's say, a 3-month stay, you're going to pay for that first month up front, and then it will charge you for each month after that. However, if you do have to cancel for any reason, they have a very firm policy about charging for that full first month. So that's the only thing that I would say to keep in mind. If you want a really flexible cancellation policy, that's not possible for anything over a month. And that's just Airbnb's rule. It doesn't have anything to do with the host specifically. And that's just one of their policies.
I see. So it's already March, and I know that you've been busy with your Spain remodel and your coaching business. What are you focusing on in the year to come?
Well, in 2 weeks, I'm taking off for Spain. This is going to be not my longest trip. It's just going to be for a few weeks to work on some of the remodel of the house. I'm taking a good friend of mine and showing her the area for the first time, and actually meeting up with some people that I've met through Instagram and YouTube, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, fun.
One person that reached out to me on Instagram is actually buying my friend Lee's house two doors down from me. And he's been renting my house from me while he's there over these last few weeks. So the connections that you can make through these platforms is really incredible, as I see a lot of that start to come to life. Even this conversation with you today has been really cool. But so I'm going to be there doing that. And then I'm coming back to Florida for a little bit, going to work on growing the coaching business that you mentioned, trying to help more people as they're looking to buy a house in Spain or trying to start an Airbnb, trying to learn about how they can travel on a budget. Those are a lot of the focal points for me. And then I'm taking off for Spain again in the fall. I'll be there for 3 months in the fall, so I'm really excited to spend some time there. And we'll probably do some other European travel while I'm there. So I'm just excited to explore. I haven't traveled as much since COVID, so I'm really excited to start to launch a little bit more of that this fall. So
that's awesome. It's exciting. Yeah. I'm planning a trip for September and October. It's looking like about 6 weeks. So
cool.
I'm excited.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And I'm following a lot of your tips, which basically mean I'm trying to be flexible and trying to look for good prices on things and sort of plan the trip around that. And so I've got my idea of where I want to go, but I'm kind of working out the logistics based on the deals that I can get and places I can stay and so forth. So I really appreciate all that you're sharing. And I think with your Spain tip videos, there's a lot to learn there for people that want to go and check them out. Regarding your coaching business, I did want to ask for anyone that's interested, how do people reach out to you for that?
Mm-hmm. It is through my website, traveltomoney.com/coaching will get you directly to the coaching page. And then I offer 4 different types of coaching. They're all the same price, but it kind of gives me an idea before I'm meeting with that person, just what they're wanting to go over. So everything from financial coaching to Airbnb host coaching, buying a house in Spain, and then world travel coaching. And then if you visit the site, it'll explain really who that's for so that, you know, they know if that's a good fit for them. I always encourage people to go watch YouTube videos and do whatever you can for free. But if you need that one-on-one help, I would love to help guide you in any of those areas.
Awesome. Well, I've created a page for you on my website at nextflighttospain.com with some of your Spain videos. And I also want to be sure listeners know that you're on Instagram and YouTube as Travel to Money. And again, your website, Travel to Money. Your coaching business is a great place for people to go and get more info on all of that. But Nicole, it's been so lovely chatting with you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your experiences, travel tips, and ideas for a Spain itinerary. I wish you all the best in the coming year and hope to have you on Next Flight to Spain again for more tips and tricks, or maybe we'll talk a little bit about your remodel. That would be fun.
Oh, that would be fun. Thank you so much for having me. It has been such a pleasure to get to know you a little bit. And I hope maybe we can meet up in Spain at some point, have a coffee.
For sure. That would be awesome. I would absolutely love that. So I hope everyone has enjoyed listening today and that we've offered you fresh ideas for enjoying Spain on your next trip. I've enjoyed being your host here at Next Flight to Spain. Subscribe to my blog at www.nextflighttospain.com. with the number 2 instead of the word T-O. I'll let you know when my next episode is coming out. And until then, salud!